Good evening. Welcome to our prayer meeting and Bible study this evening. Tonight we're going to just briefly look at Psalm 50. Talks about worship and our attitude to worship. Let us pray before we begin. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for this evening where Thy people can come into Thy house to seek Thee in prayer. We admit, Lord, that we are people with many needs. Even after them, Lord, Thou knowest our inner feelings, our difficulties, and our illness and sickness, Lord, that some of our members are going through. Lord, as we come to Thee, we also thank Thee, Lord, for the way that Thou hast kept us, Thou hast preserved us, and Thou hast indeed given Thy word for us to read and to listen and to meditate on this evening. We also pray for Pastor Mark at this time and his family, that Thou will also be with them in a very special way, that protect them during their short stay in Singapore and bring them safely back into our midst this Saturday. Lord, as we look at Thy words, we pray that Thou will also quieten our hearts and keep us still before Thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 50 is quite a long psalm. Maybe what we do is we read it responsively. Psalm 50, God is the judge, a psalm of Asaph. Responsively, verse 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. For Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. Earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? And call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. In thy mouth. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, then thou hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou slanderest thy own mother's son. These things had thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever offer praise glorifies me, and to him. Amen. Thank God for His precious word as we read tonight. As I said, this psalm is written by Asaph. He's the chief musician to David. And he also wrote Psalm 73 to 80. First of all, we need to understand the meaning and context of this psalm. It is not written to rebuke the pagans out in the world. Actually, it's written to professing believers, those in the household of faith. If you look at verse 5, it says here, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice." So this psalm is not written to non-believers, those who belong to the household of faith. And that's the focus of God on these people. The writer of this psalm also was a leader of worship in Israel. The psalm was written with a view to understand the type of worship that God honors those who worship Him, and those who dishonor Him, God also will make mention. God identifies Himself in verse 7 again. He says, "Hear my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." See, the emphasis here is my people, His covenant people. Israel entered into this relationship with God by sacrifice in verse 5. As we know, in the Old Testament, that's how they worship God, in sacrifice. God does not rebuke them for their sacrifices, as we see in verse 8. "I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices. I will not reprove thee or any of the burnt offerings." Israel's worship of God was expressed in the form of sacrifices and burnt offerings. If you read back at the Old Testament, the original idea of worship did include animal sacrifice also. It was God who instituted and established this worship system for ancient Israel. If you read Leviticus chapter 1 to 7, then we have a better understanding of these different sacrifices, from burnt offering to fellowship offering. So different sacrifices. So the whole concept of the original idea behind the animal sacrifice is to provide a platform to teach Israel about the problem of sin. See, when they sacrifice, means they're sacrificing for their sin. You can say that sin is a violation of the laws of God. Sin harms the human soul also. Sin also causes many broken relationships. People gossip, backbiting, slander. This whole concept of unhappiness creates this tension within us, and we sin. So the solution that God offered in the animal sacrificial system is that God would one day provide atonement for sin. There will be forgiveness of sin. There will be restoration of relationship between man and God. So Israel expressed their worship of God in the form of sacrifices and burnt offering. What was Israel thinking that God needed and desired these sacrifices? Actually, God does not need such expression of worship. All living things belong to God. Every beast that roam the earth, in verse 10 it says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and a cattle upon a thousand hills." We look around this universe, it's all His. And verse 11 also it says, "And the wild beasts are all mine." And I break it down from verses 9 to 13, and we can summarize this way. God does not need us. God does not need us. God made this point clear to us. He's self-sufficient. He owns everything on this earth. The point of our worship is not that God wants our fellowship. He does not need us, or He's lonely, or He has other needs. In fact, we are the ones that are needy. You know? We are the needy ones. Just take a look at ourselves. How much needs do we have? We've got people who are sick. We've got people who've got no job. People who are struggling in life. People who've got financial needs. We are the ones actually that needed God. God doesn't need us. What was God looking for from his people? If God was not looking for animal sacrifice, what was he looking for from his people? God give us his instruction. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. When this word thanksgiving comes to mind, what triggers your memory? When we look at Thanksgiving Day, right? Who started Thanksgiving Day? America. They started this concept. The fourth, Thanksgiving Day as the Americans celebrated on the fourth Thursday in November. It's a public holiday. I read a bit of the history of Thanksgiving Day. The Americans always like to do things in style also. Well, the concept is good, obviously. We thank God. We give thanks for his blessings they receive from God. And also for the harvest, the good harvest that God gave them, and the early people who came from America. This Thanksgiving Day was celebrated since 1621. 1621 is a long time. But the trouble is with Thanksgiving Day today, if you look at America today, it's a public holiday, no doubt. But in those days, they have worship service. I'm not saying that they're not having it today. They still have worship service, but it's getting less and less. In those days, there were more Christians, I can say that. And they look up to God. So this is a day where Christians gather together to give thanks. But today is a public holiday and it's a mere holiday. So God does not exist in a lot of lives in America. It's a shame, but they give us this good concept, good idea of honoring this day. So thanksgiving should be from our heart and mind for his protection, provision, presence. As I said, there are some churches who hold services, but not very many. Services have diminished over the years. So when animal sacrifices become obsolete, Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, if you read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 14, you get a better understanding of God's plan, the perfect Lamb of God. I just read one verse out of it, in verse 4, For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and of goats should take away sins. So that's how God sees it. Lastly, paying our vows unto the Most High. We make many promises to God. Just touching on this subject of vows. You know, when we get married, we make a vow to our wives in the presence of God if you're married in church. So we take these vows very seriously. So I'm sure God would also want us to be very serious when we make a vow to God. A vow here means a promise. That some make a vow, say they want to give their life to God, they want to serve full time, or they want to be a missionary, or they want to serve in church, Sunday school teacher. They take an oath. Whatever we do, we are serving God. And this commitment we make, we have to stick to it. It's not just pure lip service, which some people take it as. But if you want to be detailed on this, if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, it gives a very good, it explains quite well on this topic of vows. I'll just read the first, just verse 1 out of those 7 verses. Keep thy foot when thou goest of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. I know this is King James English, but what it's trying to say is, when we go to the house of the Lord, we must listen. There was a reading the other day I read, God gave us 2 years and one mouth. But it's as though He's given us 2 mouths and 1 year. Sometimes we speak more than what we actually take in or understand. So this is something that we got to take note, that when we listen and we take note that this is what we must do for the Lord, or this is what the Word of God says, we also must be diligent that we got to upkeep the commands of God. So may this indeed encourage our hearts, even a short sharing like this, how to worship God in the right spirit and the true spirit. And may God grant us the grace and understanding of the meaning of true worship from our hearts and from our mind. And the last verse here, verse 23, whosoever offered praise glorified me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whosoever offered praise glorified me. So we must continually praise God, uphold his name, and worship him in the right spirit. And to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. This conversation here means our conduct also, our conduct, how we conduct ourselves with our words, the way we behave. Maybe no one can see in our hearts, but God knows our motives, our intention. Indeed, may God bless us as we just look at this short few passages from Psalm 50. Indeed, may God grant us wisdom as we meditate on this psalm. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look briefly now on this psalm, may thy words indeed speak to us, challenge us, Lord, to live righteous lives in thy sight. Lord, we are just instruments, Lord. May thou shape us, mold us, that indeed we can be tools fit for thy use, whether in this corner of thy vineyard or even as ambassadors to the other parts of the world. Those who have been to the mission field, Lord, indeed it's an encouragement that they can be used of thee to bring blessings to those in countries that are suffering or lacking of many physical and spiritual things. Now, use us mightily for thy glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.